We are now going to look at some replies that Christian thinkers have made to the argument from called the problem of evil. The argument that says if undeserved suffering exists in the world, there can't be a good God in charge of the world. Their argument is even you and I could prevent undeserved suffering if we knew what was going to happen. If we knew that somebody had loaded up an automatic rifle and was going to go to a shopping mall and shoot as many people as possible, we could tackle the guy, take the gun away. If we can stop him, God could. God can just have the guy faint instead of pull the trigger. So here are the three replies, and there are more than just these three. These are the three most frequently made in the tradition of Augustine, Anselm, and Aquinas. The first is called the soul-making reply. This says, in effect, that God permits undeserved suffering at times because it makes people better than they'd otherwise be. They have to cope with it. They deal with it. It makes them more empathetic in helping others when they deal with it. In short, it's one of the ways that God prepares a person for life in his everlasting kingdom. It makes us better to go through this than not. Now, there are times when that's certainly true. There are times when, as Scripture tells us, if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we will suffer. There are things that are going to go wrong. God has not promised that if you love Him and you serve Him, nothing bad will ever happen. You can't find that anywhere in Scripture. And once again, any ancient Jew of the kingdom of Israel would just fall on the floor laughing if you told them that. So while soul making does happen, the New Testament says that at times you are tried, your faith is tried, and it will generate patience and hope in God's promises. That is sometimes true. But I hardly think that it's always true. It doesn't explain all the undeserved suffering. It doesn't explain people who are rounded up and then mass murder is committed on them because their captors have a program of genocide. It doesn't include making people better to see their little children slaughtered. I think it makes people worse, in fact. It makes them filled with anger and hate and vengeance. So while this is sometimes true, it hardly covers all the ground. Not only that, some undeserved suffering occurs when people are afflicted by a plague or an epidemic or a famine or they're struck by a hurricane and their house is wrecked. These we call natural evils, naturally caused undeserved suffering. This says nothing about that either. Those two are going to have to be treated if you're going to have a full reply to this argument. So I don't find that the soul-making argument, I don't find it convincing at all. Let's move on a bit then to the argument that says that God allows undeserved suffering in the world in order to produce more good in the world than would otherwise be the case. We have the hurricane strikes, people's homes are wrecked, and other people take them in. It's a chance for God's people to show service and love toward others by helping them out, supplying food, donating money, going and work on wrecked buildings, that kind of thing, that it maximizes good. And the theory here is that if you took the sum total of all the suffering in the world and then added that up somehow, and you took the sum total of all the good that was created by that, the good would outweigh the suffering. That's some versions of this have that in them. Again, I have to tell you, I don't see that as convincing. Let me tell you why. Both the soul-making and the argument, and the argument that undeserved suffering maximizes goodness, increases the amount of goodness in the world, both have this objection to deal with. Why couldn't God improve your soul or increase the goodness in the world without having people suffer? Why couldn't it just be one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? As you read the Word and study and pray and try to serve God, your soul does improve. And you can help maximize good in the world whether there's undeserved suffering or not. I suppose there's some sufferings which are such that they'd have to occur for a certain kind of goodness in meeting the needs of that suffering to occur. That's true. But largely speaking, it's hard to think of any reason why maximizing goodness in the world would have to be preceded by undeserved suffering. God could, again, create those goods, use us to create those goods, whether or not we had to face grievous, undeserved suffering. So I don't find that these two go very far. It's the third argument that has arisen in the AAA tradition that is the most persuasive. And that's the argument from free will. It's the argument that says, but God made us free creatures. We have wills to choose. We have reason to think things through. We can decide our course of life. We can decide what we're going to pursue. We also can decide in many cases, not every case, but in many cases we can decide which agenda we think is the best, and we make our judgments, and we have the freedom to pursue them. We are significantly free. We're not robots. But if God is going to make us with free will, which is better than if he didn't, then there's the risk that we will use our freedom to do evil things, wicked things that will cause others undeserved suffering. And it's hard to think how that could be otherwise. If the argument adds, if we really had freedom, then it has to be the freedom to do evil as well as good. Augustine himself, Augustine himself held this view. He worked out a version of the free will defense, and he offered that in reply to Porphyry. Porphyry wrote this in 250 AD, and Augustine lived until 430. So Augustine's a century later. The free will argument more recently has had a version that even tried to deal with the natural evils. If you say to someone, well, what about the evils that are caused by volcanic eruptions and tidal waves and all that kind of thing? Then one prominent spokesman for the free defender of the free will argument said, well, why couldn't those be the result of free will, wicked choices of Satan? Satan is the cause of those natural disasters. When Mount St. Helens erupts, or there's a terrible storm that hits someplace and kills many people. So that free will argument's been around for quite a while, and it has a number of defenders, some of them very able and sharp philosophers. But still, I don't find that it works. When we return our next segment, I'm going to tell you why I think it doesn't work and contrast to those the Cappadocian and Reformational reply, the reply I find to be based in, grounded in, the book of Job in the Bible.